Well, have you ever had a day which began like any other, but then, well, it turned out to be the first day of a very different life? Well, in our reading this morning, Luke tells us about the day Simon Peter, or more commonly known as Peter, how his safe and familiar world changed dramatically, and a scary but new adventure of following Jesus began for him. And today, as we have been thinking about Gabriel and Judy and how they've told us about their call to mission work in East Asia. And to be involved in missions means that we must be fishers of men. And in our reading from Luke 5, both Jesus and Luke intentionally turn the story about, well, a miracle catch of fish. They turn it into a parable about catching people for the kingdom. Jesus was not merely teaching the word of God as he sat in that boat. He was also showing by his actions and his words how he desires for his followers to win men and women to faith. And I trust that as we look at the different aspects of this miracle, we can see how we too can become fishers of men in whatever situation that we find ourselves in. So in this parable, Luke is describing an incident where Jesus, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, or commonly known as the Sea of Galilee. The people were crowding around him to listen to the word of God. And as he was standing there, he saw two boats at the water's edge. They were left there by fishermen who were cleaning up and washing their nets. Washing their nets after an unsuccessful night of fishing. But Jesus, what does he do? Well, he invites himself into Peter's boat and he asks him to put it out a little further on the lake so that he might teach the crowd about God. So after he's finished his teaching, Jesus turns his attention to Peter and he chooses that very area where Peter feels in control, the area of fishing. Well, we see in verse 4 how Jesus asked Peter to go out into the deeper water, to let down the nets and to start fishing. And how does Peter respond? Well, he responds by saying, well, we've been out all night. We've caught nothing. It's a bit of a waste of time, isn't it? But however, wanting to do what Jesus asked, Peter agrees. He agrees to put out to deeper waters again. No doubt when he did it, he would be anticipating a fruitless trip. But Peter was prepared to let Christ take command of his business. And because he did this, he found to his astonishment that it flourished. Amazingly, the nets were full of fish. They were full of fish even to the point of nearly breaking. Well, how gracious it was of the Lord to provide the catch despite the half-heartedness of Peter's faith. So what did Peter do? Well, he signaled to his partners in the other boat. He signaled and said, look, come out here. Give us a hand. And soon the boats were so full of fish that they began to sink. So what Peter didn't realize is that Jesus, the Creator, Sovereign God, is in fact a master fisherman. When Peter saw the blessing Jesus had given those fishermen, the way he had used them to gather that massive haul of fish, and this was in spite of their half-hearted obedience, well, what happened? A series of shock waves was created. While in the sinking boat, awash with fish, Peter's world, it was turned upside down. And what does he do? He falls at the feet of Jesus and he says, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." We see here how that no longer is Jesus simply a familiar teacher, healer, friend, but he is Lord. And what does this do? Well, it gives Peter a sense of his smallness and of his sinfulness. We see here that now God can begin to use him. And Jesus then, by saying in verse 10, "Do not be afraid," well, he's penetrated Peter's defences, not to destroy him, but it is to create the possibility of a new life and a new calling. Jesus reassured Peter and his fishing partners, James and John. He charged them with a commission far weightier than launching into familiar deep water. Here was a call, not just to catch fish, but to catch people. It was a radical call that compelled obedience. They had to leave behind all that they knew to follow a master who would also be their Lord. The whole experience is awesome. It's scary. It brings everything he has assumed into question. But there's one thing that Peter knows for sure. He must now follow the one who will teach him to fish in a whole new way. And then we see the parable finishing by telling us that Peter and his two fishermen friends pull their boats up onto the shore. They leave everything and follow Jesus. Well, what does this parable teach about the kind of people who go man fishing and win others to Christ? Well, first of all, we see that those whom the Lord chooses to be soul winners often appear to be the most unlikely people. Just think of this. When Jesus wanted men to preach and to become the pioneers of the gospel, what did he do? He went to the seashore. What did he find? Humble fishermen. Jesus chose men not by outward appearance, but by knowing their hearts. And this is borne out in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 to 29. And it says here, "Brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one can boast before him." Well, this should be a great encouragement to every Christian. The Lord delights to use ordinary people. He delights to use those who at first sight seem quite unlikely. And if you make a list of men and women in the Bible whom God used, what do you notice? Well, you notice that in most cases, they were very ordinary when the Lord called them. And if they do appear in Scripture as outstanding people, this is only because they became that by the grace and power of God. And secondly, if we are to be man fishermen, they must be people who are willing to teach the word of God. In our reading, we see in verse 3 that Jesus got into a boat. He taught the people. And if we are to man fish, using as bait the word of God, we'll need to be involved in teaching. As we all know, we live in a society that does not know the true nature of God and the gospel. They don't know what sin is, what God's glory and law are, who Christ is, and what happened on the cross. They don't know what faith and love is, and what heaven and hell are. Therefore, to win these people, we need to be involved in teaching. Not only in formal teaching, not only by words, but also by showing, by the way that we live, what Christ is all about. So we have to ask ourselves the question, are these attributes evident in our lives? Well, then the next mark of a person involved in man fishing is that they must obey the command of Jesus. When Jesus told Peter, well, in verse 4, to push out into the deep, what do we see Peter saying? Well, Peter answered and said, well, Master, we've worked hard all night, we've caught nothing. But what does he conclude with? But I will do as you say and let down the nets. If Peter hadn't obeyed, there would probably have been no catch. Christ calls us to be his instruments in man fishing. He gives us Peter as an example. It's not a perfect example, but it is certainly a good one. Peter's not brimming with faith, for we see him trying to convince Jesus that he knows fishing. He insinuates that Jesus doesn't know anything about this occupation. He shows this by telling him, well, this place is fished out. And also, well, we're exhausted because we've been up all night trying to catch those fish. So how many are the excuses that we find for not man fishing? But isn't it encouraging that the Lord didn't give up on Peter and ignore him? He accepts his half-hearted obedience, and he does the miracle anyway. How often have you heard Christians say that they were tired? It didn't seem like a good time to speak of Christ. But then they add, but we did speak of Christ, and the great, never-weary Christ acted. The time's never perfect, and our hearts are never perfect, but Christ honours simple efforts to obey him. And in so doing, we must aim for, and we will often see, great results. And then in verse 4, we see Jesus telling Peter to put out into the deep water, let down the nets for a catch. Very often, as God's servants, we fish in the shallows where it's not possible to secure a large haul, for the big fish are further out. Well, today, more than ever before, Christian men and women are needed to do mighty exploits for the Lord. We have to launch out into the deep. Is there something more that you can do for the Lord and for the salvation of souls? In John 14, verse 12, we have these words, I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. And well, this brings us to the final point. Those who do man fishing must humble themselves. They must treasure Christ above all. Jesus cannot use a proud man or woman in his service, but he can and he does use those who in simple trust fall at his feet, those who fully yield themselves to him and make themselves available to be what he wants them to be. As we're reminded in that Old Testament reading from Psalm 119, we must seek the Lord with our whole heart. We must not wander from his commandments. We are also to meditate on his teachings, fix our eyes on his ways. We see Peter was down at Jesus' knees, and that is the place for each one of us. However much we have served our Lord, however much we love him and seek to obey him, there's only one place for us, and this is down at his feet. Here, well, there is no room for pride or self-congratulation. And here we are to be conscious of our own utter unworthiness, just like Peter was. We've got to say the words found in Luke 17, verse 10. We are unworthy servants. We have only done our duty. Well, how wonderful it is to see the Lord saying in verse 10 of our reading from Luke, to such unprofitable servants, from now on, you shall catch men. And it is very challenging to read in verse 11 that when the Lord said this to Peter, James, and John, what did they do? They left everything and followed him. Well, Peter surrendered to the claims of Jesus, illustrates what needs to happen to all of us if we are to become useful and effective disciples in the Master's service. In verse 3, we saw that Peter willingly handed over what would have been his most valuable asset, his boat, for Jesus to use. And he found that when he did so, what happened? Well, it was transformed into a pulpit from which Jesus was both seen and heard. And someone has once said, the surrender of our possessions to Jesus is no loss to ourselves, but infinite gain for the kingdom of God. For in him using our material things makes them spiritually fruitful. So in conclusion, we've got to ask ourselves the question, do I show the marks of a faithful man fisher? Are we willing to be used by the Lord, even though we might look a most unlikely person? Are we willing to teach the word of God and obey his commands? Are we willing to humble ourselves before Christ and treasure him above all? And are we willing to be a prayer warrior for those who go to the mission field? Is your Jesus confined to areas which you feel safe and familiar with? Is he confined to areas where you think you have it have it all under control in your own strength? Well, what might his invitation to put out into the deep water with him mean for you? We've got to remember always that the Lord is with us if we launch out into the deep as his disciples. If we launch out to the deep as his disciples to take his message into all the world. And in closing, I just want to mention Matthew 28, that passage which is widely known as the Great Commission, and to think on those words that it finishes with. And it finishes with those words, "And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." So, are we willing to be a man fisherman? To be a man fisherman for the Lord, and to reach out to those who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ? So let us pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you for your great love for mankind, the great love which you showed in sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to be our Saviour and Lord. We would ask that you would help us to be humble and obedient, to be willing to be used as fishermen, as we teach and live out our faith in the everyday world. May we each one echo these well-known words, "Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Break me, melt me, mold me, fill me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me." Amen.